This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents The Shadow of What Was Lost, Book 1 of the Lycanius Trilogy. Written by James Islington. Performed by Michael Kramer. Prologue. Lightning. For a moment the waters of Aerith Morgue were lit, roiling and churning as though a great knife had plunged deep into the pool's murky heart. A dark wave shattered against a barely discernible outcrop of black rocks, hissing, spitting spray 100 feet into the air before subsiding. The world flickered back into darkness, but the waves, if anything, increased their intensity. Another roared, hissed, sighed, even louder than the peals of thunder that followed. Another. Tal watched impassively from his rocky perch, high above even the spray. Only his cloak moved as it flowed out behind him, billowing and snapping in the gusting wind. Old eyes, set against youthful features, stared unblinking into the night, fixed upon the point where he knew the gaping maw of Aerith Morgue lay. Another flash illuminated the oval of jagged rocks. The waves licked at them hungrily, waiting to devour any who ventured close. Behind him lay the flat, barren rock that was Tog's Peak. No life grew there, not even the hard, poisonous foliage that survived elsewhere in the wilderness. The obsidian surface was worn smooth by the constant buffeting wind. 20 paces from Tal, it ended in another precipice, almost as sheer as the one he currently overlooked. Few men could gain Tog's Peak, and fewer still desired to. To the north, on the horizon beyond the pool, the darkness was suddenly broken by a dull red glow rising from Tawas, last of the broken cities. Tal's eyes cleared after a moment, flicked towards the light. The beacon seemed about to fade before blossoming into a ball of brilliant orange flame, searing light across the wastelands and burning into Tal's head. He gasped, shutting his eyes for a moment, steadying. How long had he gazed into the depths of Aerith Morgue? Too long. The alarm was raised and his flight discovered. A cold, sharp pain clawed at his chest, something he had not felt in some time. Fear. Hold, he murmured to himself, fixing his gaze once again upon the angry waters. Hold. It was very nearly done, despite his lapse in concentration. You are running, Tal'Kamar. I warned you against running. The sound rumbled around the peak, a presence rather than a voice. Tal's stomach twisted and he turned, searching for his pursuer. I know the truth, he said quietly. He could see it now, at the far end of the peak, but crawling towards him. A shadow, darker than the rest. A being not quite there. His master. The creature chuckled, a sickening sound. You do not know what truth is anymore. He was one man, Tal'Kamar. He lied. You said it yourself. You slew him for his falsehood. You took his head and set it on a pike. You placed it at the door of Eladriel as a reminder for all to see. Do you not remember? The shadow stopped, watching Tal. Waiting. Tal hesitated, staring for a long moment into the gloom. Yes, he whispered hoarsely. His master's presence was almost overpowering. For a moment Tal wanted only to grovel before his lord, beg that all be forgiven. Then the moment passed, and he sensed a feeling of anticipation from the shadow, and something more, barely discernible. Something he had never felt before from his master. Nervousness. He continued, growing more confident with each word. Yes, he repeated slowly. But I was mistaken. I followed the path he set me upon. I found proof.
He paused, his voice stronger now.
I went to Rescartha. I asked the Lith.
Stronger again.
I went to the wells of Morarul and spoke with the keeper. I found Nethgullar at the crossroads and tortured her until she told me all she knew.
Now he shouted, the rage of so many years finally released, a mighty roar that seemed to echo across all of Talon Gol and beyond.
I went deep beneath the mountains, beneath Ilin Torah itself. I found the mirrors. I gazed into them and found one thing.
He stopped, panting, face twisted in grim triumph.
One truth above all others.
The shadow crept closer, menacing now, the silver gone from its voice.
What did you find, Tal'Kamar? It hissed mockingly.
Tal drew a deep breath.
You are false.
He said it calmly, staring defiantly at the dark mass.
Completely, utterly false.
He turned, gesturing downward toward the waters. A bright blue circle began to glow just above the waves, spinning ever faster. When he turned back, the shadow was at his face, filling his vision, its breath a foul stench on the air. It laughed, a filthy sound that contained only contempt.
You cannot escape this place,
it snarled.
You cannot escape me.
For the first time in years, Tal smiled.
You are wrong. This time I go where our kind David cannot follow,
he said softly. He stepped backward, over the edge. Fell. The shadows slithered forward, watching as Tal passed through the gate and beyond reach. The whirling ring of blue fire flickered white but for a moment, then it was gone, with no trace of it ever having existed. The creature stared at where it had been. The waves below were quieter now, as if appeased. Suddenly it understood.
The waters of renewal,
it hissed. Its screams seemed to fill the world. Chapter 1. The blade traced a slow line of fire down his face. He desperately tried to cry out, to jerk away, but the hand over his mouth prevented both. Steel filled his vision, gray and dirty. Warm blood trickled down the left side of his face onto his neck under his shirt. There were only fragments after that. Laughter, the hot stink of wine on his attacker's breath, a lessening of the pain and screams, not his own. Voices, high-pitched with fear, begging. Then silence, darkness. Davian's eyes snapped open. The young man sat there for some time, heart pounding, breathing deeply to calm himself. Eventually he stirred from where he'd dozed off at his desk and rubbed at his face, absently tracing the raised scar that ran from the corner of his left eye down to his chin. It was pinkish white now, had healed years ago. It still ached whenever the old memories threatened to surface, though. He stood, stretching muscles stiff from disuse and grimacing as he looked outside. His small room, high in the north tower, overlooked most of the school, and the windows below had all fallen dark. The courtyard torches flared and sputtered in their sockets too, only barely clinging to life. Another evening gone, then. He was running out of those much faster than he would like. Davian sighed, then adjusted his lamp and began sifting through the myriad books that were scattered haphazardly in front of him. He'd read them all, of course, most several times. None had provided him with any answers, but even so, he took a seat, selected a tome at random, and tiredly began to thumb through it. It was some time later that a sharp knock cut through the heavy silence of the evening. Davian flinched, then brushed a stray strand of curly black hair from his eyes and crossed to the door, opening it a sliver. "Where?" he said in vague surprise, swinging the door wide enough to let his blonde-haired friend's athletic frame through. "What are you doing here?" Weir didn't move to enter, his usually cheerful expression uneasy, and Davian's stomach churned as he suddenly understood why the other boy had come. Weir gave a rueful nod when he saw Davian's reaction. "They found him, Dav. He's downstairs. They're waiting for us." Davian swallowed. "They want to do it now?" Weir just nodded again. Davian hesitated, but he knew that there was no point delaying. He took a deep breath, then extinguished his lamp and trailed after Weir down the spiral staircase. He shivered in the cool night air as they exited the tower and began crossing the dimly lit courtyard. The school was housed in an enormous Dorisian-era castle. Davian had lived here all his life and knew every inch of these grounds, but tonight the high walls loomed ominously in the darkness. "Do you know how they caught him?" he asked. "He used essence to light his campfire." Weir shook his head, barely visible against the dying torches on the wall. "Probably wasn't much more than a trickle, but there were administrators on the road nearby. Their finders went off and..." He shrugged. "They turned him over to Talion a couple of hours ago, and Talion didn't want this drawn out any longer than it had to be, for everyone's sake." "Won't make it any easier to watch," muttered Davian. Weir slowed his stride for a moment, glancing across at his friend. "You could still take Asha up on her offer to replace you if you wanted. I know it's technically your turn, but nobody would blame you." "No," Davian shook his head firmly. "I can handle it. And anyway, Liam's the same age as her. She knows him better than we do. She shouldn't have to go through that." "None of us should," murmured Weir, but he nodded his acceptance and picked up the pace again. They made their way through the eastern wing of the castle and finally came to Administrator Talion's office. The door was already open, lamplight spilling out into the hallway. Davian gave a cautious knock on the doorframe as he peered in, and he and Weir were beckoned inside by a somber-looking Elder Olin.
"Shut the door, boys,"
said the gray-haired man, forcing what he probably thought was a reassuring smile at them.
"Everyone's here now."
Davian glanced around as Weir closed the door behind them, examining the occupants of the small room. Elder Chandra was there, her diminutive form folded into a chair in the corner. The youngest of the school's teachers was normally all smiles, but tonight her expression was weary, resigned. Administrator Talion was present too, of course, his blue cloak drawn tightly around his shoulders against the cold. He nodded to the boys in silent acknowledgement, looking grim. Davian nodded back, even after 3 years, still vaguely surprised to see that the administrator was taking no pleasure in these proceedings. It was sometimes hard to remember that Talion truly didn't hate the gifted, as so many of his counterparts around Andara did. Last of all, secured to a chair in the center of the room, was Liam. The boy was only 1 year behind Davian, at 15, but the vulnerability of his position made him look much younger. Liam's dark brown hair hung limply over his eyes, his head bowed and motionless. At first, Davian thought he must be unconscious. Then he noticed Liam's hands. Even tied firmly behind his back, they were trembling. Talion sighed as the door clicked shut.
"It seems we're ready, then," he said quietly.
He exchanged glances with Elder Olin, then stepped in front of Liam so that the boy could see him. Everyone silently turned their attention to Liam. The boy's gaze was now focused on Talion, and though he was doing his best to hide it, Davian could see the abject fear in his eyes. The administrator took a deep breath.
"Liam Perisar,
Three nights ago you left the school without a shackle and unbound by the fourth tenant. You violated the treaty."
He said the words formally, but there was compassion in his tone.
"As a result, before these witnesses here, you are to be lawfully stripped of your ability to use essence. After tonight, you will not be welcome amongst the gifted in Andara. Here, or anywhere else, without special dispensation from one of the tolls. Do you understand?"
Liam nodded, and for a split second, Davian thought this might go more easily than it usually did. Then Liam spoke, as everyone in his position did eventually.
"Please,"
he said, his gaze sweeping around the room, eyes pleading.
"Please, don't do this. Don't make me a shadow. I made a mistake. It won't happen again."
Elder Olin looked at him sadly as he stepped forward, a small black disc in his hand.
"It's too late, lad."
Liam stared at him for a moment as if not comprehending, then shook his head.
"No, wait. Just wait."
The tears began to trickle down his cheeks, and he bucked helplessly at his restraints. Davian looked away as he continued imploringly.
"Please, Elder Olin, I won't survive as a shadow. Elder Chandra, just wait, I..."
From the corner of his eye, Davian saw Elder Olin reach down and press the black disc against the skin on Liam's neck. He forced himself to turn back and watch as the boy stopped mid-sentence. Only Liam's eyes moved now. Everything else was motionless, paralyzed. Elder Olin let go of the disc for a moment. It stuck to Liam's neck as if affixed with glue. The elder straightened, then looked over to Talion, who reluctantly nodded his confirmation. The elder leaned down again, this time touching a single finger to the disc.
"I'm sorry, Liam,"
he murmured, closing his eyes. A nimbus of light coalesced around Elder Olin's hand. After a moment, the glow started inching along his extended finger and draining into the disc. Liam's entire body began to shake. It was just a little at first, barely noticeable, but then suddenly became violent as his muscles started to spasm. Talion gently put his hand on Liam's shoulder, steadying the boy, so his chair didn't topple. Elder Olin removed his finger from the disc after a few more seconds, but Liam continued to convulse. Bile rose in Davian's throat as dark lines began to creep outward from Liam's eyes, ugly black veins that seemed to crawl across his face, leaching the color from his skin. A disfigurement that would be with Liam for the rest of his life. Then the boy went limp, and it was over. Talion checked Liam's vitals, then helped Elder Olin untie him.
"Poor lad. Probably won't even remember getting caught," he said softly.
He hesitated, then glanced over at Elder Chandra, who was still staring hollowly at Liam's slumped form.
"I'm sorry it came to this. I know you like the lad. When he wakes up, I'll give him some food and a few coins before I send him on his way."
Chandra was silent for a moment, then nodded.
"Thank you, Administrator," she said quietly. "I appreciate that."
Davian looked up as Elder Olin finished what he was doing and came to stand in front of the boys.
"Are you all right?"
he asked, the question clearly aimed at Davian more than Weir. Davian swallowed, emotions churning, but nodded.
"Yes,"
he lied. The elder gave his shoulder a reassuring squeeze.
"Thank you for being here tonight. I know it can't have been easy."
He nodded to the door.
"Now both of you should go and get some rest."
Davian and Weir inclined their heads in assent, giving Liam's limp form one last glance before exiting the administrator's office. Weir rubbed his forehead tiredly as they walked.
"Want some company for a few minutes? There's no chance I'm going straight to sleep after that."
Davian nodded.
"You and me both."
They made their way back to the North Tower in thoughtful, troubled silence. Once back in Davian's room, both boys sat, neither speaking for a time. Finally, Weir stirred, expression sympathetic as he looked across at his friend. "Are you really all right?" Davian hesitated for a moment, still trying to sort through the maelstrom of emotions that he'd been struggling with for the past several minutes. Eventually, he just shrugged. "At least I know what I have to look forward to," he said wryly, doing his best not to let his voice shake. Weir grimaced, then gave him a hard look. "Don't say that, Dav. There's still time." "Still time?" Normally, Davian would have forced a smile and taken the encouragement, but tonight it rang too false to let it go. "The Festival of Ravens is in 3 weeks, Weir. 3 weeks until the trials, and if I can't use essence before then, I end up the same way as Liam. A shadow." He shook his head, despair thick in his voice. "It's been 3 years since I got the El-Cursed Mark, and I haven't been able to do so much as touch essence since then. I'm not sure there's even anything left for me to try." "That doesn't mean you should just give up," observed Weir. Davian hesitated, then looked at his friend in frustration. "Can you honestly tell me that you think I'm going to pass the trials?" Weir stiffened. "Dav, that's hardly fair." "Then you don't think I will?" pressed Davian. Weir scowled. "Fine." He composed himself, leaning forward and looking Davian in the eye. "I think you're going to pass the trials." His tone was full of conviction, but it didn't stop Davian from seeing the dark smoke-like tendrils escaping Weir's mouth. "Told you," Davian said quietly. Weir glared at him, then sighed. "Fates, I hate that ability of yours sometimes," he said, shaking his head. "Look, I do believe there's a chance, and while there's a chance, you'd be foolish not to try everything you can. You know that." Weir wasn't lying this time, and Davian felt a stab of guilt at putting his friend in such an awkward position. He rubbed his forehead, exhaling heavily. "Sorry, you're right. That wasn't fair," he admitted, taking a deep breath and forcing his swirling emotions to settle a little. "I know you're only trying to help, and I'm not giving up. I'm just running out of ideas. I've read every book on the gift that we have, tried every mental technique. The elders all say my academic understanding is flawless. I don't know what else I can do." Weir inclined his head. "Nothing to be sorry for, Dav. We'll think of something." There was silence for a few moments, and Davian hesitated. "I know we've talked about this before, but maybe if I told one of the elders about my other ability, they could help." He swallowed, unable to look Weir in the eye. "Maybe we're wrong about how they would react. Knowing when someone is lying is different from being able to read them, you know." Weir considered the statement for a few seconds, then shook his head. "It's not different enough. Not to the elders, and certainly not to administration if they ever found out." He stared at his friend sympathetically. "Fates, no, I don't want to see you become a shadow, Dav. But that's nothing compared to what would happen if anyone even heard a whisper of what you can do. The treaty is clear when it comes to augurs. The elders may love you, but they would still turn you in a heartbeat." Davian made a face, but eventually nodded. They'd had this conversation many times, and it always ended the same way. Weir was right, and they both knew it. "Back to studying, then, I suppose," said Davian, glancing over the jumble of books on his desk. Weir frowned as he followed Davian's gaze. "Did it ever occur to you that you're just pushing yourself too hard, Dav? I know you're worried, but exhaustion isn't going to help." "I need to make use of what time I have," Davian observed, his tone dry. "But if you ever want to use essence, you need to sleep more than an hour or two each night, too. It's no wonder you can't do so much as light a candle. You're probably draining your reserve just by staying awake for so long." Davian gestured tiredly. He'd heard this theory from plenty of concerned people over the past few weeks, but it was the first time Weir had brought it up. The trouble was, he knew it was true. When a gifted pushed their body past its limits, they instinctively drew essence from their reserve, using it to fuel their body in place of sleep. And if he was draining his reserve to stay awake, his efforts to access the essence contained within were doomed to failure. Still, 3 years of keeping sensible hours had done nothing to solve his problem. Whatever reasons prevented him from using the gift, they ran deeper than a lack of sleep. Weir watched him for a few moments, then sighed, getting slowly to his feet. "Anyway, regardless of whether you plan to sleep, I certainly do. I have a session with Elder Kane tomorrow." He glanced out the window. "In a few hours, actually." Davian gave him a nod of acknowledgement and a weary smile. "Of course. Thanks for the company, Weir. I'll see you at lunch." Davian waited until Weir had left, then reluctantly considered the title of the next book he had laid aside for study. Principles of Draw and Regeneration. He'd read it a few weeks ago, but maybe he'd missed something. There had to be some reason he couldn't access essence, something he hadn't understood. The elders thought it was a block, that he was subconsciously resisting his power because of his first experience with it, the day he'd received his scar. Davian was doubtful, though. That pain had long since faded. He knew it could well be something to do with his other ability, some sort of interference, perhaps, but information on the augurs was so hard to find nowadays that there was little point even thinking about that possibility. And perhaps it was simply technique. Perhaps if he read enough about the nature of the gift, he could still gain sufficient insight to overcome the problem. Despite his resolve, now he was alone again, he found the words on the cover blurring in front of him, and his jaws cracking open unbidden for a yawn. Perhaps Weir was right about one thing. Exhaustion wasn't going to help. Reluctantly, he stood up, leaned over, and extinguished the lamp. He settled into his bed, staring up into the darkness. His mind still churned. Despite his tiredness, despite the late hour, it was some time before he slept. Chapter 2. Davian awoke with a start. There was a moment of silence, then the sound that had woken him, an insistent knocking at the door, came again. He looked around blearily, the fog of sleep not yet departed. What time was it? The distant chatter of voices from the courtyard below indicated that lessons had already begun for the day. Motes of dust drifted lazily through the light that streamed in through the still-open window. From the angle, he realized it must be at least mid-morning, if not later. Muttering a curse under his breath, Davian flung himself to his feet. He usually woke at dawn and had trusted his body to keep to that schedule, but apparently he had deprived it of sleep for one too many nights in a row. The knocking came again. Hurriedly throwing on some clothes, he stumbled over to the door and opened it. The girl waiting outside had blonde hair hanging loose around her shoulders, and the recent good weather had left her with the faintest smattering of freckles high on her cheeks. She smiled at him, a guileless expression, and amusement danced in her sea-green eyes. "Hello, Ash," Davian said awkwardly, suddenly aware of his disheveled appearance.
"Morning, Dav. You look..."
"I know." He raked through his thick, unruly black hair with his fingers, but he knew it would make little difference. "Apparently I overslept."
"Apparently you did. Quite a bit," said Asha with a brief, meaningful glance towards the window.
Then, after a careful examination of the hallway to check they were truly alone, she lowered her voice.
"Mistress Alita's been keeping me on the run this morning, but I came as soon as I had an excuse."
Her smile faded.
"I heard about Liam."
The memory of the previous night came crashing back into Davian. It must have shown in his expression because Asha stepped forward, eyes suddenly soft with sympathy and concern.
"Are you okay?"
"I am."
It was a lie. He actually felt a renewed flood of fear as he remembered Liam's convulsing form, the black veins crawling their way across the other boy's face. Still, he wasn't about to admit any of that to Asha.
"It was nothing I hadn't seen before. It just
Reminded me how close the trials are, I suppose. Asha grimaced at that, but nodded, saying nothing. Davian's chest tightened a little as he watched her. As the last few months had flown by, he'd faced plenty of fears about becoming a shadow. It had only been recently, though, that he'd realized that never being able to see Asha again was far and away the worst of them, that their friendship of the past couple of years had developed into something more, at least for him. But he couldn't say anything, not now. It would only make the next few weeks harder on both of them, regardless of whether Asha felt the same way. There was silence for a few moments. Davian glanced at the angle of the sun, which was high enough now that it barely came through his east-facing window. "I'll tell you the full story later," he promised, suddenly remembering that he had other responsibilities. He forced a smile as he spoke, trying to sound cheerful. "I'm supposed to be going into Kaladel today."
"You were supposed to be going into Kaladel 2 or 3 hours ago," corrected Asha. "Actually, I don't want to make your day any worse, but that's why I'm here. Mistress Alita realized that you haven't been by to get the list."
Davian groaned.
"What did she say?"
Mistress Alita took students shirking their responsibilities more seriously than any of the elders. Worse, having all but raised Davian, any sign of him avoiding his tasks was considered by the head cook to be a personal affront. Asha shrugged.
"You know, the usual. Something about you boiling water in that large knife she keeps by the bench. It was too detailed to remember all of it."
She gave him a rueful smile.
"I'm sure she'll be happy to repeat it for you, though."
"Wonderful." Davian paused.
"I don't suppose you could omit that I overslept when you speak to her?" "She's going to ask."
"Lie." Davian raised an eyebrow.
"I meant lie."
Asha gave him a look of mock surprise.
"You, of all people?"
Davian sighed, repressing a smile.
"I'd owe you one."
"Another one," Asha corrected. Davian narrowed his eyes, but this time couldn't help grinning.
"Thanks, Ash."
Once Asha had vanished down the stairs, he shut the door again. His mood improved. As little as he was looking forward to a tongue-lashing from Mistress Alita, and as heavily as the memory of last night was beginning to weigh on him again, waking up to a visit from Asha was far from a bad start to the day. He stood in front of the mirror, taking a few minutes to rub the sleep from his eyes, straighten his clothes, and rake his fingers through his hair until it sat in a vaguely respectable state. The elders were firm on anyone going outside the school walls appearing presentable. He was already late, so there was no point worsening his lecture by rushing off and looking disheveled into the bargain. Finally satisfied with his appearance, Davian hurried down the spiral staircase of the North Tower and into the inner courtyard of the castle. A group of younger students were gathered around Elder Jarrus at the far wall, some of them giggling at a story he was telling them. Davian watched as the thick-bearded man made a deliberately overdramatic sweeping gesture with his deep-red gifted's cloak, his eyes widening comically, sending the children into more peals of laughter. Davian smiled. Everyone liked Jarrus. He moved on, hurrying through a narrow breezeway to the back entrance of the kitchen. Most of the students used the main door from the dining area, but he'd been a serving boy here long before becoming a student, and a lifetime of habit was hard to break. He slipped inside as quietly as possible, taking in the familiar sensations. The heat from the fireplace as a pot boiled busily above crackling flames. The smells of various spices mingling together. The cheerful chatter from Tori and Gunder, the cook and her apprentice, their backs facing him as they chopped away at some vegetables. Even after 3 years, this felt more like home than his room in the tower ever had. He hesitated. Mistress Alita was nowhere to be seen. Tori, a middle-aged, dowdy woman who had always spoiled him before he had discovered he was gifted, finally noticed that someone had entered. She glanced away again when she realized who it was. Her conversation with Gunder died within seconds as the teenage boy saw too. Davian flushed, as always feeling like he was intruding. Gunder and Davian had been apprentices together, had shared a room until Davian's abilities were uncovered.
Now they were strangers. The servants here might work for the gifted, but the war had left too many scars for them to look past what their employers were. What he was. Sometimes he caught the familiar faces looking at him, a kind of sad accusation in their eyes, as if he had betrayed them, chosen this path, rather than been pushed down it. Davian forced himself to ignore the stares today, eyes darting around the room for the slip of paper that would tell him what was needed from town. If he could just find that list and leave before Mistress Alita returned.
"Is this what you're looking for?"
The familiar voice came from behind him. His heart sank as he turned to see the head cook standing with a frown plastered across her face, waving the list at him. Davian grimaced.
"Sorry,"
he said, abashed. The portly woman shook her head in irritation.
"Don't apologize to me. The elders are the ones whose plates will be empty at lunch. I'll be sure to let them know who to speak to when they ask why."
Mistress Alita seemed about to launch into one of her tirades when she suddenly stopped, eyes narrowing as she examined his appearance.
"You look tired."
She was clearly still displeased with him, but there was a question in her voice now.
"I haven't laid eyes on you in days."
Davian glanced over towards Tori and Gunder, but they had both returned to their task and were talking amongst themselves. Students were not supposed to speak to non-gifted about their training, but he and Mistress Alita regularly flouted that rule. She had looked after him for years after he'd been left to the school's care as an infant. She had a right to know at least a little of what was going on in his life.
"The trials are soon,"
he said quietly by way of explanation. The head cook's brow furrowed, and she lowered her voice so that it would not carry to the others.
"No progress?"
Her frown deepened as she studied his face.
"You're still not sure if you can pass?"
Davian bit his lip. He didn't want to give Mistress Alita cause for concern.
"It's still a risk," he said, keeping his tone carefully neutral.
"But you're worried?"
It was a statement rather than a question. She knew him too well. Davian hesitated.
"Terrified,"
he admitted softly. Mistress Alita gave him a sympathetic smile, placing a hand on his shoulder in a maternal manner, and giving it a light squeeze.
"El doesn't give us burdens we can't carry, Davian. Always remember that."
"I will."
Davian nodded, but the words didn't make him feel any better. Mistress Alita had tried raising him as an adherent of the old religion, but everyone knew that all confidence in El and his grand design had died along with the augurs 20 years ago. Davian, like most people in Andara now, couldn't bring himself to believe in something that had been so clearly disproven. Still, Mistress Alita was devout, and he had always respected that. The head cook pressed the slip of paper and a few heavy coins into his palm, then gave him a light but firm cuff to the back of the head with her other hand, her usual grumpy exterior reasserting itself.
"Now get moving. Administrator Talion is expecting you. And if this happens again, I'll be thinking up a proper punishment, trials or no."
She leaned forward, lowering her voice conspiratorially.
"And it won't involve Asha waking you up next time either. I think you'd enjoy that a little too much."
She sent him on his way with a gentle push, leaving him blushing in surprise. He chewed his lip as he walked. Were his feelings becoming so obvious? Asha spent plenty of time around the kitchens. Whatever Mistress Alita suspected, he just hoped she would be tactful enough not to say anything. He headed towards the administrator's office. The courtyard was quiet now. Jarrus and his class had vanished. A couple of younger students were sparring to the side, overseen by a still somber-looking Elder Chandra, but otherwise there was no sign of movement. Davian paused for a moment to watch the bout. Despite his best efforts, jealousy stabbed at him as whip-thin tongues of light periodically lashed out from the student's hands, flicking towards the other before being met by bright rippling shields of essence, energy crackling as the two forces collided. He examined the contest analytically. Both children, they could not have been older than 12,
seemed about equal in strength, but Davian could immediately see the smaller one's shield was better formed, more complete. Even as he watched, a sliver of bright essence pierced the taller one's shield and touched him on the arm, making the boy yelp in surprised pain. It would only be a matter of time before the match was over. Davian tore his eyes away and kept walking, pushing down the frustration he felt every time he saw the gift being used. Move on. Get his chores done quickly, then try again. There was nothing more he could do. His stomach twisted as he approached the administrator's office, the memory of last night still fresh in his mind. The door to Talion's office was ajar, but as Davian moved to knock, he heard low voices coming from inside, one of which he didn't recognize. That was unusual in the small, close-knit school, enough so that it made him pause.
"So you understand our true purpose here?" the unfamiliar voice was asking.
There was silence for a few moments, then,
"You've come for the boy."
It was Talion.
"We have. The North Warden thought it was time."
Davian frowned. The North Warden? The king's brother and head of the administrators? What were they talking about? Talion spoke again.
"I would hope so. I heard about the school at Arras. Desari was hit too."
A different stranger's voice this time, a woman's, her tone grim.
"A 100 or so dead, and no one saw anything."
Talion let out a long breath.
"I am sorry to hear that."
There was a grunt, evidently from someone dubious about the administrator's sincerity.
"Tell me, what are your defenses like here?" 3 guards at the gate at all times, usually an elder and 2 senior students, or 3 students if need be. The castle walls are warded. If anyone tries to scale them, the elders know straight away."
There was a pause.
"You think there should be more?"
"Perhaps," came the first stranger's voice, sounding unimpressed.
"It should suffice for now." "That's good."
A pause.
"So, do you think it's hunters, then? I heard that..."
There was a scuffling of feet too close for Davian's comfort, right by the door. He darted away. Whatever that conversation had been about, it hadn't been meant for his ears, and it sounded far too serious for him to simply interrupt. He walked around the hallways for a few minutes, uneasy as he puzzled over what he'd heard. Schools had been attacked? He knew it happened every so often. Hunters working in groups, or sometimes just common townsfolk deciding that they didn't like living so close to the gifted. But he hadn't heard of any major attacks in the last few months, and certainly none on the scale the strangers had been suggesting. Eventually, he sighed, realizing that he hadn't overheard enough to understand what was really going on. If it was something he and the other students needed to be worried about, he was sure the elders would let them know. Soon he decided that enough time had passed to try again. Sure enough, when he returned to the administrator's office, the door was wide open. Talion was alone as he pored over some notes, his shirt sleeves rolled up and his blue administrator's cloak draped over the back of a nearby chair. He removed his reading glasses and stood as Davian came to a halt in front of the desk.
"Ah, so Mistress Aelita finally found you. I see you're still in one piece,"
he said with a hint of amusement. The corners of Davian's mouth turned upward, relieved that Talion was not going to dwell on the events of last night with him.
"I'll wait until everyone finds out why there's no midday meal before I celebrate," he said dryly.
Talion grinned.
"Probably wise."
He gestured for Davian to follow him over to a cupboard in the corner, the motion revealing the tattoo on his bare right forearm. Davian repressed a shudder, as he did every time he saw an administrator's mark. It was the same as that found on the gifted, a circle surrounding a man, woman, and child, but the administrators were always colored red, not black. It made them look like burns, as if they had been seared into the flesh.
"It's been a while since I've had to put one of these on you,"
Talion noted as he rummaged about in the bottom of the cupboard. Davian shrugged.
"I don't get sent out as often as everyone else. I can't imagine why,"
he added, sarcasm thick in his tone. Talion paused, glancing over his shoulder at Davian.
It is out of a desire to protect you, Davian. In their shoes, I might do the same. There's no shame in it.
He scratched his beard.
Speaking of which, I know you don't usually go out alone. I could ask Elder Olin to find you a companion if you'd like.
Davian reddened, shaking his head. It's been 3 years. I don't need special treatment anymore. From anyone, he added significantly. Talion sighed.
True, true enough.
He emerged from the cupboard, grasping a torque. The twisted bands of onyx-like metal polished so brightly that Davian could see his own distorted reflection in them.
Hold out your arm. You should sit down first, too.
Davian shrugged. I've never found it has much effect on me. Talion grunted.
Still, I've had too many students say exactly that and then wonder why I can't be bothered catching them when they fall. Not a few elders, too, though don't tell them I told you so.
Davian grinned. Fair enough. He sat compliantly in a nearby chair, stretching out his left arm so that the wrist was exposed along with his own tattoo. He flinched as Talion pressed the 2 points of the open end of the torque against his mark, shivering as he felt the device molding itself to his arm, the ice-cold metal slithering forward over his skin and finally joining, completely encasing the forearm. The entire process only took a few seconds. He looked up at the administrator, who was watching him closely.
Take your time, said Talion.
Davian shook his head. No need. Most gifted found putting on a shackle a fairly traumatic experience. It could cause lethargy, dizziness, even nausea for some. All Davian felt, though, was slightly weaker and a little more weary, as if the cold metal had stolen away an hour or two of the previous night's sleep. Even that much could have been his imagination, given how tired he was already. Before, he'd always considered that good fortune, but today he found himself wondering whether it was something else entirely. Still, Davian could sense a cold layer of something sitting just beneath his skin, encasing him, sapping at his strength. The device was definitely working. He stood, Talion still watching him intently. Davian rubbed at the shackle with his finger, tracing the markings etched into the cold steel. I'm not even sure why I need to wear this sometimes, he said, a hint of dejection in his tone. Talion raised an eyebrow at him, and Davian snorted at his expression. Don't worry. I'm not questioning the treaty. I only meant that I can't use the gift anyway. This, the tenants, none of it really seems relevant to me at the moment. Talion grimaced, so briefly that Davian wondered if he'd imagined it. Then the administrator gave him a sympathetic nod.
Of course. Even so,
he placed his hand on Davian's shoulder.
By the fourth tenant, return to the school once you have finished.
Davian rolled his eyes, feeling the slight warmth on his left arm as the tenant took effect. Is that necessary? Talion raised an eyebrow.
You want me to risk a troublemaker like you running away?
Davian gave a slight smile, shaking his head in wry amusement. Fine. I'll see you when I get back. He felt a sudden stab of nervousness as he walked back out into the courtyard. He hadn't had time to think about it since waking, but this would be the first time in months he'd been outside alone. Despite his bravado to Talion, he really would have felt more comfortable with a companion on the journey. It was always that way, though. He couldn't let his past, his fears, inconvenience everyone else forever. He hitched Jenny, the school's mule, to the rickety old cart they used for transporting supplies. She was a placid animal, and, as always, stood happily until the process was complete. He absently noted that there were 3 horses tethered in the courtyard, where there would usually be none. They belonged to the mysterious visitors he'd overheard talking to Talion, presumably. Soon enough, he was ready. Taking a deep breath to steel himself, he gave Jenny's reins a gentle tug and set off for Kaladel.
Chapter 3. The road was quiet. Divian led Jenny at a relaxed pace, kicking loose stones along in front of himself as he walked, enjoying the feel of the sun on his back. This, the solitude, was always his favorite part of the journey. The cliffside road had been a major highway before the war, but now it was all but abandoned. The cobblestones were cracked and crumbling where nature had taken its course, and weeds sprouted anywhere they could get a foothold. It was still easily the shortest route north for anyone living in town, but it also passed within 100 feet of the school. Only the gifted used it anymore. Soon enough, though, he rounded a curve in the road, and the picturesque township of Calladel came into view, nestled between the sparkling coastline and surrounding hills. He sighed. Davian was avoided as he made his way down into the streets, Jenny and Cart in tow. A few hawkers and merchants were out selling their wares, but none called to him as he passed. They knew he would not have money for them, and worse, having him seen at their stall or shop would keep other customers away. For his part, Davian kept his eyes lowered, trying not to meet the gaze of the townspeople giving him a wide berth. He'd been to Calladel many times before, but the wary, sometimes disgusted look in the eyes that followed him still stung. After a while, he found himself hunching his shoulders, as if the stairs were a physical pressure on his back. He hurried between his destinations as unobtrusively as possible. His purchases went smoothly today. In the past, some merchants had refused to sell to him or had demanded outrageous prices for their goods. Whenever that happened, he knew to return to the school empty-handed rather than cause a scene. This afternoon, though, much to his relief, the storekeepers were cold but willing to trade. Most people didn't want to be seen dealing with the gifted, but the school brought in a lot of business, and when earnings were counted at the end of the day, a coin from the gifted was just as good as one from anyone else. Even so, it was with some relief that Davian hitched Jenny outside the small, dimly lit butcher's shop that held the last items on his list. He'd dealt with the owner many times before, and didn't anticipate any trouble. "Afternoon, Master Dale," he said respectfully as he entered. The butcher was a thin man, no older than 40, with a bushy mustache that dwarfed his narrow face.
"Morning, lad," he replied, looking neither happy nor unhappy to see him. He never learned the names of his regular gifted customers. None of the shopkeepers did, but Master Dale was unfailingly polite, which was an improvement on most. Davian handed him a slip of paper. "This is everything."
"Shouldn't be a problem," Master Dale said as he read the list.
Behind him, the bell hanging above the door rang as another customer entered. The butcher glanced up, and immediately his demeanor changed.
"Get out,"
he growled, looking twice the size he had a moment ago.
"We don't serve the likes of you here."
For a moment, Davian thought the order was directed at him. Some shopkeepers were only willing to sell to the gifted when there was nobody else present to see. In those situations, Davian knew to simply take Jenny around the back of the shop and wait for the shopkeeper to come and find him. Master Dale's gaze was focused past him, though. Davian turned to see an unfamiliar young man, no more than 5 years older than Davian himself, frozen in the doorway. Even in the dim light, Davian could see the black spiderweb of veins running jagged lines across his face, outward from his eyes. The butcher's scowl deepened when the newcomer didn't move.
"You heard me,"
he said angrily.
"I just wanted—"
Before Davian knew what was happening, there was a stout oak club in Master Dale's hands, and the thin man was advancing around the counter. The shadow turned and fled, leaving only the clanging of the door's bell in his wake. Immediately, Master Dale's expression reverted to its usual business-like state as if nothing had transpired.
"I apologize for that."
"That's okay,"
said Davian, trying not to sound shaken. He glanced again at the shop door, hesitating as he thought of Liam. He knew he shouldn't say anything more.
"So you don't serve shadows?"
The butcher gave him a withering look.
"No self-respecting shopkeep would. And fates take me if I care what they do up in Ilin Ilan. I may not like you gifted, but this is a business, and I'd be a poor man if I only traded with those I liked." Shadows, on the other hand. He looked around as if trying to find somewhere to spit. I've been hearing plenty about them and this Shadraheen fellow that everyone's talking about. The types of things, the evil things, that their kind get up to. Well, some stories you just can't ignore. A man has to draw the line somewhere.
Davian kept his expression carefully neutral. He'd never heard of this Shadraheen before. Not unusual, as the school was too isolated to get many of the rumors that filtered down from the capital. But it just sounded like the usual fear-mongering administration liked to spread. Still, he could hardly say that to Master Dale's face. All that would earn him was a forceful ejection from the shop and the distinction of losing the school one of their few reliable suppliers.
Maybe they're not all like that,
he pointed out, trying not to sound too argumentative. The butcher's face darkened as if he'd just realized who he was talking to.
Some people say the tolls use them when they want to get around the tenants, too, he said,
as if defying Davian to challenge the statement. Davian kept his mouth shut after that. Before long, he was heading outside again, the butcher having regained his usual cool composure and instructing him to load up his cart around back. Davian looked briefly for the shadow before leading Jenny into the alleyway beside the shop, but the young man had fled. He felt a brief pang of regret, wondering if he should have said something more in support. It would have been pointless, even foolish, to bring down Master Dale's inevitable wrath on himself. Still, before long, Master Dale had helped him secure the last of his purchases and had disappeared back inside the shop. Davian took Jenny's reins. A small object flew over his shoulder from behind, missing his face by inches. He spun, startled, to see a group of boys lounging at the mouth of the alleyway. They looked younger than him by a couple of years. They were perhaps 14, and all wore wide smiles as they observed his discomfort. One of the boys was standing, tossing another small rock from hand to hand, eyeing him in the same way Davian had seen cats eye mice.
"Sorry, bleeder. Must have slipped," said the boy, affecting innocence.
The others laughed. Davian gritted his teeth, biting back a retort. Bleeder, a common enough slur against the gifted, he knew, though he'd rarely heard it directed at him.
"What do you want?"
he asked uneasily. He was accustomed to hostility and even outright verbal abuse, but there was something about this situation that seemed off. The boy who had called out, clearly the leader of the pack, smiled at him, hefting the stone in his hand. Davian's anxiety hardened into a sliver of panic. For a moment, all he could think about was waking up 3 years ago, barely able to move from his myriad injuries. He tensed himself to run, to abandon his purchases in the event of an attack. The boys were all smaller than he, but the shackle would rob him of some of his strength, and it would be 5-1 in a straight fight. Besides, he couldn't risk an altercation. Administration would never listen to his side of the story. He'd be accused of provoking the attack, no matter the facts. Suddenly, there was a flash of blue on the main street.
"Administrator!"
yelled Davian, trying to keep the desperation from his voice. The administrator paused at the shout, head swiveling towards the alleyway. He was a younger man, perhaps 30. His eyes absorbed the scene with cool disinterest. Then he turned and kept walking. Within moments, he was lost from view. The boys had hesitated when Davian had cried out, but now their swagger returned.
"Nice try," called one mockingly.
Their leader sauntered closer.
"How did you get to be so ugly, bleeder?"
The boy grinned, tracing a finger down his cheek to indicate Davian's scar. Davian turned to run, and the blood drained from his face as he discovered more of the group had cut around the buildings, blocking off the other end of the alley. The boy continued,
"It looks like you got it in a fight. Bleeders aren't supposed to be able to fight, you know."
The other boys muttered their agreement. Davian's mouth went dry.
"It was an accident. From a long time ago," he said, trying to keep his voice steady.
His hands were shaking, though whether it was in fear or anger, he wasn't sure. He did his best to sound deferential.
"I apologize, but I really must be going."
He moved to step around one of the aggressors, but the boy sidestepped back into his path, staring at him with a smile that never touched his eyes.
"This is a violation of the treaty," Davian said desperately, stepping forward once again.
This time the boy shoved him backwards hard enough that Davian landed flat on his back, breath exploding from his lungs. Then the youth's leader was leaning over him, face close to his.
"Do I look like an administrator?"
he whispered, a cold hunger in his eyes. Davian tensed, expecting to feel the first blow at any moment. Instead, an angry male voice yelled something from the main street. Suddenly the boys were scattering, leaving him lying alone, dazed on the sun-warmed stone. He sensed rather than saw the approaching figure. Heart still pounding, he stumbled to his feet, hands held out in a defensive posture.
"Easy, lad. I'm not going to hurt you."
The man standing before him gestured in a calming manner, his voice gentle with concern. Davian squinted. The voice sounded vaguely familiar, but the man was a stranger, middle-aged, and with a thin, almost wiry build, probably in his mid to late 40s. The small round glasses he now peered over gave him the appearance of a kindly, absent-minded scholar. More importantly, he wore the crimson cloak of one of the gifted, and his left arm was exposed to display his shackle. Davian lowered his hands, finally taking the time to glance around. His assailants had vanished. He took a deep, steadying breath.
"Thank you,"
he said, straightening and trying to brush the dust from his clothes. The man inclined his head in acknowledgement.
"Were you harmed at all?"
"Only my pride," replied Davian, a flush of shame running to his cheeks. The man gave him a sympathetic nod.
"Something we can all relate to these days."
He held out his hand.
"I am Elder Ilseth Tenvar."
Davian shook the outstretched hand as firmly as he could manage.
"Davian."
The handshake felt off. Glancing down, he noticed that the man's forefinger was missing, only a scarred stump where it had once been. Ilseth's expression hardened as he gazed towards the street where the boys had vanished.
"Do you know who they were?"
Davian shook his head.
"I've never seen them before."
Ilseth's scowl deepened.
"Opportunists, then? Cowards and fools. And here I was thinking that things might be different in the borderlands."
Sighing, he clapped Davian on the shoulder.
"Do you have much more to do here in town?"
Davian gave Jenny a reassuring pat on the neck, though the gesture was more for himself than for the implacable mule.
"I was just about to head back to the school." "Wonderful. I was there earlier today, but some directions back would not go astray. Would you terribly mind company?"
Davian glanced at Ilseth sideways, suddenly realizing where he recognized his voice from. The man who had been talking with Talion. He frowned. The question had been posed innocently enough, but he sensed there was something more to it. Elders visiting the school were not uncommon, yet for a moment Davian felt an irrational suspicion. Then he understood. Ilseth was offering Davian some support for the trip back, but tactfully enough not to make him feel ashamed for needing it. He felt a flicker of embarrassment at himself.
"It would be my pleasure, Elder Tenvar," he said gratefully.